word that we're looking at this morning is bless. And I would imagine that it's a word that you've either used or heard fairly frequently over the last few weeks. David obviously instantly is understanding what I'm on about because he's probably had a queue of people outside his, what do you call them, consulting room. Yes? Okay, hay fever season. If we can have pictures, please. Which obviously you can't see. It says, don't expect to bless you after the fifth sneeze. Get it under control. Lots of different ways in which you use, we use the word bless or blessings. That says, sure, she didn't give us any homework over Thanksgiving. It's American, but she knows that we will be counting our blessings. Yeah, blessing in disguise and things being a mixed blessing. Media, social media in particular, some of us would feel. So it's a word that we're very familiar with, and that in some ways presents a bit of a problem and an issue, doesn't it? Words that we're familiar with, a word that we perhaps use in very many different ways. It can be used both as a noun and as a verb. So it's both something that we perhaps give to some people, but in the giving we are blessing, so it's an action as well. And we can lose track, perhaps, of what the word actually means. And if we're perhaps honest, when Paul was trying to get us to share, and or the fellows, the fathers, to share and to think about what the word blessing meant, it was a bit of a struggle, wasn't it? You know, to understand what it means. It's something that we might say, we bless you, but what does that actually mean when we say that? So it's an important word. So it's a word that I think we need as Christians to understand, because actually it's used as a noun nearly 200 times in Scripture, and it's used as a verb, usually with God doing it, about 300 times in the Word of God. So it's obviously something that God considers through his word to be important. So we need to understand what it means. So here are some dictionary definitions of blessings, blessed. Technically, it describes the act of consecrating, making holy perhaps something or someone by a religious rite or words. Okay, so that's one original understanding of the word. And when the Bible was being translated into what was originally, I suppose, Old English, the term was used to translate a Latin word meaning something like Benedictus. Okay, and we're familiar, or at least some of us are, we sing choral music with the Benedictus. and I have a Greek word which I can't say, eulogen, is that how you say it, James? And both of those have the meaning to speak well of or to praise someone. And later it came to mean to pronounce or to make happy. And as I say, we use the word today in a variety of ways, don't we? Mainly, I think we use it to try and convey prosperity or happiness upon each other. And if we think of the Beatitudes, which we were looking at in All Age Worship at the beginning of this series, then one translation, modern translations of the Beatitudes use the word rather than bless, they use happy are those who, and whatever follows that each time. One understanding that I really liked was this phrase, to add strength to another's arm. To bless someone so that they are built up, they are encouraged to live life as God intends them to live it, to increase in strength and prosperity. And you might now be thinking, we use the word to God, don't we? We bless God. Well, we can't add strength to God, can we? He is already everything. He is perfect. He is almighty, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, etc. And we've been singing about blessing God. We sing that song, Bless the Lord, O my soul. So how does it fit into that meaning there? And apparently the reason for it is that the same word was chosen, this is in Old English again, when the Bible was originally translated, to translate another Hebrew word which meant to bend the knee, worship, praise, pray for blessings. And that's an obvious thing that we want to do with God, isn't it? When we say that we bless him or bless the Lord, we are praising and worshipping him. We're acknowledging him as God above. So, what does it mean then to add strength to someone's arm? And we can start perhaps by understanding that by thinking about how God has blessed us. And I'm going to read from Philippians 2, the first 11 verses, which are also on the screen. And this is the New Living Translation. But if you want to follow in your own translations, then please do. I'll have to put my glasses on so I don't make a mistake. So Paul writes to the church at Philippi, "Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly elevated him to a place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is God, to the glory of God the Father." So I think Paul is saying there that we are blessed by God in sending Jesus to die for us. And all that that means for us, those of us who committed our lives as Christians to him, who've accepted his forgiveness through the shedding of blood on the cross, everything that goes with that. And through that, we have the strength by his Holy Spirit to live in this world as people who glorify God. So we bless by following the example of Jesus in the way that he lived on earth. We are blessed in order to be a blessing or to become a blessing to and for others. And this series that we're looking at, which is headed Living Questionable Lives, living out our church core values of belonging, growing and serving, which we saw on the screen when we were praying, is about living lives that get noticed, living lives that people will ask questions about because we stand out as being different. The teaching series is actually shaped around a book called The Five Habits of Highly Missional People by Michael Frost. And alongside each of the habits, the five habits that he talks about, he also suggests a task to do each week, glad to hear this, that prompts us to live in such a way that gives those opportunities for conversation and questions. And the first of these habits is bless. So we're going to think about how we might actually go about doing this. I found this kind of acrostic. I liked this. Okay, so this is the word bless, and each of the letters of the word bless begin a little phrase or something. So that's what we're going to go through. So the first one is B for begin, and begin with prayer. So begin with prayer. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi begins with him saying that he prays for us. And actually, if you know anything about any of the letters that Paul wrote to the different churches, they often begin with him saying, "I am praying for you," and then goes on to say what he is praying for them, depending on their particular needs. And that's where we need to begin, isn't it? With prayer. if we start thinking about this or just do these challenges each week out of duty, because we feel we've been told to by, that's what the minister has laid down in his series, that we should do this, or that's what the book says, then they're not going to have much of an effect, are they? Either on ourselves as becoming people who are a blessing, or on the other people, or as a church as we seek to be a blessing together and outward looking in that sense. And that prayer should also mean that we perhaps do whatever it is we're going to do in terms of blessing in the right way and for the right reasons. Secondly, listen. Listening, I think, is a real skill. And I think just the fact that we are prepared to take the time and listen to someone in this very busy, noisy world in which we live, that conveys a blessing in itself. Providing that it's real listening. You know, the listening that listens and tries to understand where somebody else is coming from, rather than listening and then think, oh yeah, I know all about that. I did this, blah, 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 and sharing our own opinions. Because listening properly means that we actually gain and develop empathy. Empathy. Being able to understand where somebody else is coming from. Being in their shoes, as it were. It's more than sympathy. Sympathy might be coming alongside someone and offering them help. Empathy is actually putting ourselves in their place, trying to understand what it feels like and means to be and suffering whatever the difficulty that they might be going through. Knowing the person that you want to bless, what their needs are, being able to understand who they are as individuals, which may actually be very different to who you and I actually am. You know, in a kind of trite way, there's actually no point in blessing somebody who is dairy intolerant by giving them a box of milk tray chocolates. Philippians 2 and verse 4 says, think of others before and above yourself. Watch out for what is better for others. And again, that might be different to what is best for you. Thirdly, it's about eating. Eat with someone. We're not going to talk about this because that's next week's message. Okay. So whatever you feel challenged to do this week as the task, which I'll explain a bit later on, it can't include eating with someone. Okay? You have to think of something else because that'll be next week. That is correct, isn't it, Paul? Yeah. So we're moving on to the first of the S's, which is to serve. So I suppose this is what we're really thinking about. Actions. Actions of blessing. We might, perhaps some of us, tend to think that we need to have some kind of grand gesture in order to get noticed and for people to ask questions about us. It needs to be something big and dramatic. A grand gesture. What God did in giving Jesus was great. It was a massive action on his part in giving us. But was it grand? Jesus was born into poverty. He then had to flee as a refugee and live as a refugee for a while. As he grew up, he became a carpenter. He followed in Joseph's footsteps. He then wandered about the countryside, never had a proper job, and then died an inglorious, unlovely death. And whilst Jesus undoubtedly, as we know from reading scripture, preached to thousands of people at once and had a big impact on them in terms of that sort of grandness, if you like, of the scale of the preaching. Possibly his biggest impact was on individual women and men, probably through small actions, short conversations that we don't have a clue about. Those times when he did things and said things that are not actually recorded in scripture, to people that are not gone down in history, There were more than 12 men who were disciples, followers of Jesus. Many more who he had that individual relationship with, who were then responsible for Christianity spreading in the way that he did. Little actions, little times of coming alongside, showing empathy with people that had a massive impact. Small, seemingly perhaps insignificant words and actions can bring about change in people's lives, can cause them to stop and think, to ask questions. And perhaps that's what stands out in a culture in which we live today, which is all about the bigger, the best, and the most successful, about making dramatic gestures. We don't have to do that. We don't have to think of dramatic ways of serving. Jesus came in humility, as it says in Philippians 2. And Paul goes on to say that we should be like him. We should be humble. Don't brag about how many people you've blessed or make a point that you actually did it. Why not be anonymous? We might think there's a slight contradiction there, because we're doing this series in order to get people to ask us questions about why we're Christians, why we're doing what we are. So how does that work if I'm kind of saying, well, just be anonymous? Well, maybe sometimes we just need to go unnoticed as people so that God can shine through. Maybe sometimes we just need to let God, to be the people that God wants us to be, and let him be the one who gets people to ask questions, allow God to work through our lives in his time rather than perhaps forcing an issue. Francis of Assisi said, preach, preach the gospel at all times, and sometimes use words when necessary. And the fifth letter, S, the point of this, as it were, when we've got opportunity, when questions are asked, to share our story. Not necessarily doctrine or, be careful not saying that, because the previous series was all about understanding doctrine and having reasons for why we believe. But the most powerful thing that each of us have in talking to other people is our personal story. What we know about Jesus, how we became Christians, why we're a Christian, the things that God is doing, continuing to do each day in our lives. So the challenge for us is to, in order for something to become a habit, which is what this book talks about, a habit, a value that's so ingrained that we don't think about it, that it's a natural part of our lives, like if you've ever learnt to ride a bike, you can just get up and ride a bike. Or as I discovered the other week when I went away with Sprout, that I did a lot of rock climbing a lot of years ago, probably more than some of you haven't reached that age yet. But when I got on that rock face, I knew what to do because it had been so ingrained in me. And that's what we are doing these challenges for. Something that we do, we decide to do as an action in order for it to become natural and something that we do all the time. Making a decision. I did, as I think I've mentioned before, the 40 Acts for Lent this year. And I found that really helpful. Getting an email each day with suggestions of what to do, which was even more helpful, of how to act towards somebody else in some way. Lots of those hopefully were blessings. Has it become ingrained? Not as much as I would perhaps like. I'd still need reminding that that is who I'm meant to be a person who goes out and blesses other people. So the practical task that's set us this week is to bless three people over the week. One of whom can be a Christian, one of whom is not to be yet a Christian, and the other one you can choose, okay? And we've got to almost start consciously to do that in order to live a life that becomes naturally a blessing as we live it out. And the challenge for me, as I thought about this, was, how can I bless by doing or saying something that is out of normal expectation so that people will ask questions? When we think about Jesus coming to this earth, you know, the Jews were thinking and expecting a king, weren't they? A king who would be powerful, who would release them from the slavery and captivity that they'd suffered under for so long. They didn't get that. What they got was not what they were expecting. So what is the unexpected way of blessing? Paul used a phrase last week, socially adventurous. Being socially adventurous. And when the service finished, I turned to Frank, David's dad, and said, what do you think that means? What does that mean to be socially adventurous? And he gave the illustration of Baptist Church in Hereford that a number of years ago had a predominantly older congregation. Now, please hear me here. Please don't take any offence from what I'm about to say. So it had a mainly older congregation. Now, I know that there are probably more people come to this church over the years through Thursday Fellowship than any other single thing in our church, if I'm honest. Okay, a lot of people have come through the doors and are now Christians because of that providing an afternoon cup of tea. And that's great, okay? But what this older congregation decided to do was, rather than serving coffee at 11 o'clock in the morning, which is what you might expect them to do, they served coffee at 11 o'clock at night on a Friday and a Saturday. Because the Baptist church there is on the high street and there are clubs and bars along the high street. So they opened up the church at 11 o'clock at night so that people could come in and get a cup of coffee or chat or recover or whatever was necessary. That was being socially adventurous. Maybe being part of a Batty Baptist is being socially adventurous. Playing rounders each week. It's not a Christian league, is it? No. Okay. So being out there in the community, doing something that perhaps people who don't go to church wouldn't expect people who do go to church to do. Being a street pastor. That's socially adventurous, particularly if somebody of my age. When I was the age of most of the people who I meet on a Friday night and Saturday morning on the high street, when I was their age, I don't remember there being nightclubs, or certainly not ones that the general population would go to. wasn't something that most people did, however many years ago, which I'm not admitting to. So that's socially adventurous for some of us, or for all of us, in fact, to go out and do that. The most common question we get asked on a Friday night, Saturday morning, is, why are you doing this? Do you get paid? No, we don't get paid. We're volunteers. Why do you do it then? That's the most common question we get asked. And it's a fantastic opportunity to be then sharing. Being socially adventurous, mixing with people that you wouldn't normally perhaps mix with. And there's opportunity for all of us to be a bit more involved in that over the World Cup, isn't there, Ray? Okay, another list you could sign up to. There's the opportunity to be part of the prayer team. It doesn't involve going overnight past midnight. It's only from 7 till 11, being part of the prayer team. And I'm sure if you actually wanted to go out and observe what's happening, then that wouldn't be a problem at all. And that might lead you then to get involved on a more permanent basis. Have a go. Get out there. So those are things that we can do together. And that's really important, being that blessing together as a church. But what does it mean in terms of blessing others as individuals? You know, people expect Christians to go to church, like I've said. They expect them to donate to charity. They expect them to be nice people, to bake cakes, to do good deeds. I've not had the best week at school. School's normally my sanctuary. It's been a bit rubbish this week for various reasons. But on my desk, when I went back to it, and one of my two desks, the one in the office, there was a basket, a little basket. And inside the basket was a pot of homemade rhubarb and ginger jam. And it's been personalised to me. It actually said on the label, Mrs. Spencer's rhubarb and ginger jam. And round it were some chocolates. And on the note, on the top, was a little note that said, "Thank you." Slight difficulty, not difficulty, is that the person who gave me that wasn't a Christian. Somebody who doesn't go to church. And I think the difficulty for us, as I thought about it, or for me anyway, is to think, what can I do that's different to all the lovely, nice people who are out there, who do these things as well, who are kind and generous and take time? Perhaps sometimes they have more time than people who go to church, who are involved in meetings and services and preparing sermons and all the rest of it. What acts of blessing can we do that would cause others to question our motivation and want to find out more, not about us, but about Jesus? How about perhaps blessing someone this week, one of those three people, picking the person at work you don't get on with, and doing or giving them something? That would be unexpected, perhaps. Francis of Assisi, who was responsible for eventually starting the Franciscan Order of Monks, I guess, had a very, as well as the vow of poverty that he took and that they continue to take, had a real deep sense of unity and empathy for humanity. He said that he considered himself no friend of Christ if he did not cherish those for whom Christ died. Christ died for the whole world, not just for the people we get on with. And because of that, and the Franciscan monks following what he said, they actually continued to be accepted in countries, particularly countries that were strongly Muslim, and other cultures that didn't tolerate other Christian groups. Because they stood for something, didn't compromise, but they showed a love and a care and concern for people who were different, who had different beliefs. They lived as Jesus lived, say they had a vow of poverty. I'm constantly challenged by Christian families who decide to go and live in deprived areas in inner cities. That's socially adventurous. Putting your whole family, often with younger children, into those situations. And certainly where it was done by a number of Christian families in the sort of Salford, Manchester area, had a massive impact on those communities in terms of low levels of crime and everything else that went on there. Jesus is not only our example, but he's also our motivator. He's our reason. And he's the one who gives us that strength through God blessing us through his Holy Spirit, strength and grace to live differently in society. I want us to spend some time just quietly reflecting on that and the other things that we've heard in the service. And then when we've done that for a little while in silence, I'm going to ask you to stand and to make a commitment. We're going to use the words of Francis of Assisi's prayer. Actually, I discovered this week that those familiar words, "make me a channel of peace," were not written by him. They were written in his, to show his understanding, but they were actually found, the reason why it's called Francis of Assisi's prayer is because those words were found written on the back of a postcard during the First World War, and on the other side there was a picture of St. Francis, and that's why they've been come to be known as that. But we're going to kind of use that as a commitment, hopefully, and I shall ask you to stand if you feel that you can stand and actually commit to those words. Grace is excused for other reasons. Okay, but please don't stand if you're not prepared to do what we are saying. So let's just have a time of quiet and to allow God to speak to you. So if those who wish to would like to stand, and we will use the words on the screen. I will say the ones that are not in bold, and then if those who wish to would like to respond with the ones that are in bold. So let's be channels for God's blessing. Let's pray to the Lord. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me promote love. Where there is injury, let me demonstrate pardon. Where there is doubt, let me express faith. Where there is despair, let me share hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring light. Where there is sadness, let me speak joy. Lord God, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Father, help us to continue to think about those words through this week and to allow you to work out through us that we can be channels of your blessing in whatever way you lead. Help us to think of those three people who we can perhaps make a deliberate, conscious act of blessing towards in some way. And that we do the same the following week and after that, so that we become people who live lives to bless, lives that are a blessing, just as you have blessed us so much in Jesus by bringing him to this earth, by him living a life that challenges us, motivates us, gives us a model as how you want us to live. Lives that are unexpected, questionable, that will be a challenge to those who don't yet know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.